This is Fresh Air.
Hey, what's your name anyhow?
Clyde Barron.
Hi, I'm Bonnie Parker. Pleased to meet you.
A special 40th anniversary DVD edition of Bonnie and Clyde has just been released. And in a moment, we'll visit with Arthur Penn, director of that landmark 1967 film. But first, let's hear another clip. This is the scene where Bonnie Parker, played by Faye Dunaway, meets Clyde Barrow, played by Warren Beatty. He robs banks, but she doesn't believe him, at least not until he pulls out his gun in the middle of the street and lets her touch it.
What's it like?
Aren't you in prison?
No. Armed robbery.
It ain't like anything.
Shoot, I knew you never robbed the place, you faker. Yeah. But you wouldn't have the gumption to use it.
You just wait right here and you keep your eyes open.
40 years after Bonnie and Clyde was produced, the death scene ending of that film remains as brutal and visceral and oddly beautiful as it was back in 1967 when Arthur Penn directed it. The scene influenced how generations of filmmakers have approached and choreographed violence on the screen. A Hollywood and Broadway veteran, Penn also directed The Left-Handed Gun, The Miracle Worker, Mickey One, Alice's Restaurant, Little Big Man, and The Missouri Breaks. Terry Gross spoke with Arthur Penn in 1989.
I want to go back to 1967 when you made Bonnie and Clyde, which was really a landmark film in part because of how you handled the violence in it, particularly the scene at the end where Bonnie and Clyde each take dozens of bullets and their bodies twitch with the impact long after they're dead. This film led Pauline Kael to say, Penn has a gift for violence. Despite all the violence in movies, a gift for violence is rare. Did you think of yourself that way, as having that gift?
No, I wouldn't have defined it that way, but I guess you have to understand that we were operating, of course, in a totally different social context in those days. It was in the midst of the Vietnamese War, and daily news, the news of that we saw on television was... had body counts and numbers of soldiers wounded and dead. And it was a time where it seemed to me that if we were going to depict violence, that we would be obliged really to depict it accurately with the kind of terrible, frightening volume that that one sees when one genuinely is confronted by violence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did in Bonnie and Clyde. Also, we were doing it at the same time with a kind of, at the end of the film, with an attempt to raise these two characters to a kind of faintly mythic proportion. So it was done in an extraordinarily complicated technical way, but the end result was to sort of propel them upward into myth, and that was the attempt, at least. And to some degree, I think we succeeded. We also succeeded in upsetting an awful lot of people.
Yeah. Can I ask you how you choreographed and shot that last sequence where Bonnie and Clyde are murdered with dozens of bullets?
Yes, but I'm afraid it'll be hopelessly technically difficult. But let me try and give you a short volume answer, okay?
Oh, please, yeah.
All right. One of the things that I attempted to do was to have it in different speeds. And the way you achieve slow motion in film is by actually running the film faster so that many more frames are exposed, and that's what produces slow motion. So the intention there was to get this kind of spastic motion of genuine violence at the same time the attenuation of time that one experiences when you see something like a terrible automobile accident or, in my case, certain occurrences in the war. It was this extraordinary stretch of time while these events were taking place. And so what I did was I ganged four cameras together, all running at different speeds, some at very, very, very high speed, and some at just double normal speed, some at four times normal speed. It was to get this kind of spastic, balletic violence. That was really the attempt, to really join time and space. And that's how we did it, in layman's terms, without getting into the technical aspects of it too deeply.
Now, I was just running back that scene last night, and I think the part where you really see the slowed-down action is just when Warren Beatty takes the first bullet and falls to the ground.
You were aware of it there, but it runs all the way through the scene.
So
it's all done in different time motions,
mm-hmm.
all the way through to the very end of the scene, including Faye falling in the car and her hands slowly bouncing, and then stopping.
Mm-hmm.
All of that was done by these four cameras in different speeds.
Correct me if I'm wrong, the sound of the bullet sounds like it's real time.
Exactly, exactly. We kept that, I decided to do it. At a visual expansion of time and an auditory continuum of time in normal, apparently normal extension of time.
What, for disorientation?
No, actually for orientation. I thought if we disoriented the sound as well as we disoriented the film, that we would then be clearly engaged in the movie aspect of it. And I didn't want you particularly to be aware of the medium at that point. I was hoping that you would be caught totally by the nature of the action on the screen.
Was there a code in existence at the time that you made Bonnie and Clyde?
Oh, yes.
What did the code say about violence, and did you have any problem getting the film through? Because for its time, it was extreme.
No, may I try to correct a couple of things?
Yeah, please, yeah.
Yeah, first of all, it was not extreme. What it was that it became a cause célèbre because the critic at that time of the New York Times had decided to engage in a campaign against what he perceived as violence in films. And he was really objecting to many other kinds of films. When this came along, however, it provided him with the perfect launching pad for a real diatribe against our film and violence in film. And somehow we remained tainted with that. Now, he's talking about one kind of violence. Pauline Kael is talking about another.
Mm-hmm.
And it's Pauline Kael's kind of violence that I'm really responding to with accuracy and complimentary.
Talking about Kael here, let me quote her again. She says that you put the sting back in death.
Well, as I say, in a context of the times where we were seeing it on the 6 o'clock news all over the country, bodies, helicopters crashing, people being killed, young men being rushed to the ambulances, there was a kind of desensitization in the nation to violence. And it seemed to us, to me, that it was important to depict it as it really is.
Arthur Penn, speaking to Terry Gross in 1989. Bonnie and Clyde has just been re-released on DVD in a new 40th anniversary special edition.